إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبع لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل، كما قال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ثم أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we thank Him, and we bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And then Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is His final servant, slave, messenger, prophet, sent to mankind. لِيُخْرِجَهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, to take them out of the darkness, the plural, into the light. There are many darknesses, that is the word. But there's only one light, and that is the light of Islam. And that is according to the way that the Prophet ﷺ taught it to us. And it has reached us more than just a story that parents tell their children when they want to put them to sleep. More than just something that is a tradition. But it has reached us as truth. And we don't have time to dwell into the science of how that has happened. Suffice it to say that the weakest hadith that we have in the tradition of Islam can be said to be stronger than some of the so-called historical documents that some people claim to put forward as a competition for Islam. Brothers, I want to dwell on an ayah today and a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Because there's a difference between truth. Today we say we upheld truth, we want truth, we want to do the correct thing. You're in academia, you want to have academic honesty. You are a citizen of this country. You want to make sure you uphold values, trust, truthfulness. At work, you want to make sure that you uphold the company's reputation, values, morals, to make sure, what's the objective in the end? To provide the correct outcome. Everyone has this objective. So the ayah that we want to look at, part of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنٌ. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, you have an amazing, a perfect, a complete, what, image? No. What, just someone? No. Someone to follow. Someone to imitate. Someone to be like. And the hadith that we all know, Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the khuluq, the behavior of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she said, قال كان خلقه القرآن. His behavior was the Quran. A few things we want to understand here. Number one, Allah, the Almighty, is saying that the Prophet ﷺ is the example for every single Muslim to follow. I want to take a little side note here. All of us as parents, as educators, as community leaders, whatever we are, how good have we done? How well have we done in bringing that to society? That understanding, Allah is telling us that in the Prophet ﷺ, you have the best example. Good. All right, first question. How much do we personally follow that? Because an example has a purpose, an objective. A letter, an email, if you don't open it, what's the point of having something beautiful, technology, be it whatever it is, if you just keep it there for decoration? There's no purpose of that. Because the purpose of a communication is to convey a message. That message requires an action, some kind of result. We know that from the corporate world, education, you name it. But how well have we done as a community, as an ummah at large, to say, yeah, we got this one right? And it's very simple to answer, because yes, never will people be satisfied with certain things, no doubt. But the Prophet ﷺ, when the people would deal with him, such as the famous rabbi, one of the leaders of the people, of the Jews in Medina, he said that, رأيت وجهي, I saw his face. But his face is not the face of a liar. SubhanAllah. So the face of the Prophet ﷺ, how does the face of a truthful person look like? I mean, that's a question one might ask, right? It's an interesting statement that he just looked at his face and he realized that this is not a liar. This is a person who has a lot of understanding of psychology, human psychology. He deals with a lot of people. But isn't it true though? A lot of times, when we meet people, the default is you feel comfortable or you don't feel comfortable, depending on how the person looks or presents themselves, right? Psychologists and experts today say that those first few seconds is crucial, it's very important. So imagine people meeting the Prophet ﷺ for the first time, and they might not agree with him, they might not share his agenda, but they're impressed by what they see. I would say the way he looks like, definitely. The way he portrays himself, the way he speaks, articulates himself, the manner, his adab as a whole was so amazing that it would definitely impress someone on the first contact. And I can give you, we have quite a few examples, because we always want to bring the dalil. We are an ummah of proof. Abu Uthama al-Yamani, And he was locked in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. He became Muslim from just seeing the Muslims pray, seeing the lack of racism. Because he saw Bilal radiallahu anhu fixing the rose. And he said, this would never happen in our community. You know, a black man to push someone back and forth and to straighten the lines. But he saw that as an amazing, you know, he's the muadhin of the Prophet ﷺ. So the lack of racism converted him, changed his heart, put from hatred, love. You know what I mean? How, do you know how difficult it is to change your heart within a matter of a few days? It's not easy. But it did, it converted him, and he took shahada. And many others. Many others who met the Prophet ﷺ, and at first impact, they were impressed by him. And more so, the Sahaba who were with him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who, if we look, if we understand the background, sometimes we don't really understand the life of the Sahaba and the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from a practical perspective. We take it as stories, you know, just as stories. You know, it happened and so on. Let's take some examples, but it's not like that. You need to contextualize. You need to understand that things didn't happen just Prophet received revelation, then there was a secret da'wah, Darul Arkan, and then they came out, Umar embraced Islam, Hamza embraced Islam, you know, then they went to Medina, you know, Bel Badr, you know, it's like very, no, it's not like that. What about the minutes where the Prophet is walking, he's sitting with his family, he's eating, you know, just the social aspect, right? Sometimes we don't understand that. We don't think all these minutes and seconds that are in between these main events as to what was happening around there, right? His interactions. And no doubt, it's no secret that Prophet has a lot of critics till today, right? And people try to point things. But when you analyze that in a proper concept and context, you see that the closest people that were with him, if you even to take statistics of so how many people literally left from the Prophet and went to Quraysh and so on and fought against him, you find that most people coming from the harsh background, you know, difficult background, very critical background, right? Walk in the masjid, you just pee, you want to fight, you're always, you know, with your sword, right? Very tough. Yet they're with the Prophet and there's a paradigm shift in their behavior. What would take someone that they're about to go to battle, and the Prophet is just using a stick to, right? Not supposed to use a stick today, right? But the Prophet, right? He pushed a little bit with the stick, right? To be correct. So the Sahaba said, ow! You hurt me, Ya Rasulullah. So he said, take your qisas on me. Do retribution. I want you to think. I want you to, visualize it a bit. So this man says, you hurt me, Ya Rasulullah. I mean, he just pushed him a little bit with a stick. So the Prophet said, what do you mean I hurt you? Did he say that? No. How dare you say, I'm the leader. You're just faking. What do you say? Make qisas on me. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah says in Qisas and retribution, there is life of people who think لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, and you may achieve taqwa. So Prophet said right away, okay, here. So he said, okay, Ya Rasulullah, I heard. I want you to lift your garment up. I want to really take retribution. What did Prophet say? He did. And then he kissed the belly of the Prophet, kissed it. I know, 21st century, we would say, oh my God, what is that? I want you to just think, what would make a man full grown, coming from that harsh background, strong manhood, to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam so much? We need to understand. It kills me when someone criticizes the Prophet ﷺ. And it kills me even more that we failed to show and convey the real Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the world. Let's not be fooled here though, because it's not some kind of just one side. The Prophet was going to battle at that point. So the Prophet was not so some weak pushover, It's the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because being a man has two sides, You have to be strong and you have to be also soft. But what I want to see is that he was the best person that was able to integrate these two sides. And what would make a man again to do such a behavior that kisses the belly of the Prophet ﷺ, saying that I love you? What kind of person must he have been to instill such love, respect towards these people? More so, the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, we say our wives know us the best. Yeah, I'm sure all of us, if anyone was to know you the best, would be your wife. She can point out all those mistakes. She can see you when it's closed door, when you put your guard down. And outside, where sometimes we have a little bit of an image that we maintain. But down in the house, our guard goes down. So the wife knows exactly where the weakness is. But we know that most of the hadith about those particular aspects of the Prophet ﷺ's life were reported by his wives. Details. I'm talking about the details of the Prophet ﷺ. I ask one weakness. People will say, no, but they're high. No. Literally, come on, let's use our rationale. One weakness that was reported. The Prophet had enemies. The Prophet had people who were against him. People could have invented, people could have done things. Give me one weakness that was reported from the wives of the Prophet, the one who knew them the best. He could have died after that. They could have gone doing their things and criticized them and all that. Look at the love, respect, but more so, the influence that he had for the Prophet. Today, sadly, we have certain women who think that, what can I take from a man? Nothing. I'm equal. Same. But see, the Prophet was an example even for women. Because these ethics that he portrayed and he exemplified, these are universal. This is for, the Prophet was an example for women as well. So sadly, we look in so many different directions rather than look at the Prophet ﷺ. كَانَ خُلُقُ الْقُرْآنِ. This, brother, is the second part. Helps us understand that, we're not left without guidance. People claim that we're so confused and things are difficult and so says this and so. Brothers, sisters, the Prophet ﷺ, he is the Qur'an. He contextualized the revelation, the wahi. This is why Islam has been preserved. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا ذِكْرِ وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. One of the ways, Allah says, I reveal the dhikr, the Qur'an, and I will protect it. One of the ways the deen as a whole has been protected is through the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have the solutions, we have the direction, we have the how, the what. It's only up to us though. Not only to practice it, to present it to the world, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us get closer to the adab, the khuluq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله ولي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. And indeed, you are on an exalted character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also uses this description, عظيم, for the Quran. So imagine what an honor for the Prophet ﷺ, his character, his khuluq, to be described as عظيم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. I've been sent to perfect manners in every aspect. Kindness, love, mercy, justice, strength. The Prophet ﷺ was the perfect individual. I go back to my initial question though. What have we done to embody that, to copy that, to practice that, to present it to others? Our children, when you ask them, who do you love? Our students, my students, when I ask them, who do you follow? Will the answer be Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And if it is that, is it a sincere answer? Because the assessment is very simple. Just look at what they do. Our children, what do they look for on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook? Do they search Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah? Or do they search Messi, Ronaldo? With all due respect, if it's new or not. What do they search for? What do they want to copy? Who do they want to study more about? And we're going to blame. You're going to blame Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We're going to say, no, it's not really applicable, 21st century. Are we going to blame the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Or are we going to look at ourselves and what have we done to instill the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hearts of these children? Yes, our children look at us first and foremost. Our youth, the future of this nation, the future of this country looks at us as parents. The boys look at the men. Do they find real men? I'm not talking males, men, to exemplify the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. Who do they look for? Women, the girls, do they look at the ummahatul mu'mineen? Do they see them in our families, in our wives? Can they take guidance from that? It's the question that I want to leave you with. And last but not least, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he says that we're always worried that we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his maqam is, his place will be the highest level in Jannah. Till the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, this man came and he asked him a question. He said, "Mata as-sa'a?" When is the hour? When is the day of judgment? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at the genius. He didn't say, you know, he didn't answer even with the Quranic ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the sa'ah is not known except by Allah. But he said, what have you prepared for it? What you bring forward? He said, not a lot. Look at his honesty. Huh? He didn't say, alhamdulillah, I'm very good, you know, mashallah. He said, not a lot. Not a lot in that time, man. You pray, everything is good, mashallah. Huh? But he said, not a lot. But he said, by Allah, I love Allah and His Messenger. He said, I love Allah and His Messenger. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-maru ma'a man ahab. The person will be with the one whom he loves. As simple as that. It is as simple as that, brothers and sisters. So I bear witness And may Allah forgive me for my shortcomings, that I love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And of course, goes without saying that we love Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala more than anything in this world. And we try to follow the ayah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Many people say, oh, we love God. Yeah, I love God. God loves me. I love God. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. If you indeed love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِ. So follow who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will love you and forgive your sins. So I leave you with that question: who do you love? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who sincerely love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow him, inshallah, till our last moments, our last day, our last second, when this soul will leave this body. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings in achieving that, our mistakes, our deviations from the path, our weaknesses. And there is love still in our hearts. We just need to let it spur out, inshallah. Need to water it. Need to water those seeds that have been planted by our parents, by our teachers, by the people who care for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send peace and blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَةَ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر لي والمسلمين والمسلمات المؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. والحمد لله رب العالمين. وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.